If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we are continuing our series on worship. We began 2 weeks ago with John chapter 4 in understanding what acceptable worship is, that we worship in spirit and in truth, that we worship with the whole faculty of our being. And as we do so, we worship Him in truth based on what we know of God. That true worship comes from that understanding of who we know God is, that is revealed to us through His Word. Just because we throw something together and call it worship doesn't mean that it is worship, doesn't mean it's acceptable in His sight. God has prescribed a certain way for Him to be worshiped. He is holy, and He has prescribed that to us. We worship Him in spirit and in truth, based on who He is. We render worship to Him, acceptable worship. And it all begins with the fear of the Lord, that we come humbly into His presence. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5, guard your steps as you enter the house of God, and don't offer the sacrifice of fools, for they don't know what they're doing. That's what Jesus confronted the Samaritan woman about. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know. We worship based on truth. There are many today in the church, as what we talked about last week, that throw all sorts of things together and call it worship. But what we end up having is worship that is not based on truth. And if the worship that we render is not based on truth, regardless of how sincere it is unacceptable to the Lord. If we, first off, this should go without saying, of course, if we render worship to a false god, that is unacceptable. Idol worship is unacceptable. He says in Isaiah 42, I will not share my glory with another in the praise to idols. He won't share it. Just because people worship certain things around the world and we say, well, they're sincere in it. They're sincere in their worship, even though they're worshiping an idol, and we tend to give them a pass, if you will. God does not share His glory with pagan idols. It is unacceptable. If we come in with our hearts full of pride, a heart not desirous to worship God, to give Him the love that is due Him, the adoration that is due Him, it's unacceptable. If we come in with that kind of a spirit, it's unacceptable. You may go through the motions, but that means nothing if your heart is not into what you're doing. If we come into the service trying to get something out of it, some kind of self-gratification, that we work ourselves up into an emotional high, work ourselves up into a frenzy, people call that worship. It is not. You're getting something out of it in the manner of you're just trying to work yourself up to be on an emotional high, and then when you reach that, you say, wow, I'm really worshiping, but your mind is not engaged. That is unacceptable. Mindless worship is unacceptable in any form. What is it that God desires of us? True, faithful worship that is based on what He says in His Word. This is one theme that continues through this series, and it's a subject, or an event rather, that we're going to keep continuing to go back to, just to emphasize the fact that God is holy and God will not accept anything other than what He has prescribed. Remember Leviticus 10, sons of Aaron? We talked about it last week. What did they do? They offered strange fire on the altar, and God immediately killed them. Immediately. It was unacceptable. It is not what He commanded, and it was rejected. So what is it that God requires of us? What is it for us to worship Him as He has commanded us to? And so today, one of the aspects of worship that we're going to be looking at today is that worship is holistic. We began studying a little bit about that the first week, that we worship God with the whole faculty of our being. But what does that mean and what does that look like? So today we're going to be discussing that. Our text today is a very familiar passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So stand with me as we give honor to God's Word. Romans 12, beginning of verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. We thank you for teaching us, Father, by the Spirit that resides within us, what is acceptable in your sight. And Father, giving us the ability to carry out what it is that you desire of us. Father, we only desire to render to you acceptable worship, that which is only acceptable. Father, we're not here for us. We're not here to make ourselves feel good. We're not here to make a showing. Father, we're here to give you honor. So teach us today. Father, let your word go forth and accomplish all you send it forth to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, Amen. You may be seated. A very familiar passage of Scripture to us, no doubt, that we've heard a number of times, something that we probably read in our devotional times. It is a very significant passage of Scripture when it comes to our service, what it is that is required of us by our Lord, how should we live before Him, what all is included in that, and so forth. Paul begins by saying this, therefore, that word, we've talked about that word a couple times, haven't we? Therefore, what does that mean when you see that in the Scripture? It means that he's bringing a proper response to something that he's already said. This is what God has done, therefore you do this. Don't skip over those words, therefore, because he's bringing it either to a concluding thought or giving you the proper response based on what he has told you. Now, if you look in the book of Romans, the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans gives us just treasures, just wonderful treasures concerning the work of Christ in our behalf. All through those first 11 chapters, you get nothing but doctrine, nothing but teaching. For example, we learn in chapter 1 that we are justified by faith and that the righteous man will live by his faith. We learn in chapter 3 that all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God and the righteousness of God has been revealed in Christ. Chapter 4, we learn of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to us through faith. Chapter 5, we once again understand justification by faith alone. Chapter 6, we are buried with Him in baptism and sin is no longer our master. In chapter 7, we learn of the conflict of the two natures and being set free by Christ. In chapter 8, we learn of the law of God, the requirement of the law is fulfilled in us through faith in Christ. We have received the Spirit of adoption and we are being conformed to the image of Christ, all in chapter 8. Chapter 9, we learn of God's sovereignty in election and predestination. We learn of the great truth of salvation, of confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believing and being saved in chapter 10. Chapter 11, we learn that we were shown mercy and that we were grafted into Israel. We were given that privilege of being strangers, once afar off, now being brought near by the blood of Christ and now being made part of Israel, being grafted in. Now, in light of all of that, in light of all of what Paul has taught us so far, he begins chapter 12, therefore. Because of all this that Christ has accomplished, all this that Christ has done for us, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, the mercies of God, what he just got done teaching us these past 11 chapters, the mercies of God. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Therefore, in light of all that Christ has done, therefore I urge you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice that is acceptable unto God. Present your bodies, present yourselves, is the idea there. You present your life as one continual sacrifice unto the Lord. That is our spiritual service of worship. In fact, in the Greek it just says, which is your spiritual worship. The word service here is lutreo, which means it's another form that we use of worship. It is your spiritual worship. This is what acceptable to Him. This is well-pleasing to Him. Present your bodies. Present yourselves. You know, within worship, R.C. Sproul says there's three elements or three things that are included in worship, which is sacrifice, prayer, and the offering of praise. Those three things included in worship. Those three things are things that we do not just when we gather here together on Sundays and Wednesdays, but things that we're doing outside of the church. Present your bodies, a continual sacrifice outside the church as well. You know, if you look back at the Old Testament and you look back at the sacrificial, the ceremonial system, you see there were a number of different sacrifices that were to be offered. You had the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the free will offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. There was a number of offerings that was prescribed in the Old Testament. One that stands out more so than the others was the burnt offering. The burnt offering, when you offered a burnt offering, the entire sacrifice was offered to God. He got it all. Whereas the peace offering or the grain offering, you offered a portion of it and then the priest either took the other portion of it or the person who offered it got a portion of it. The burnt offering was one that was given solely to the Lord. That is how our lives are to be. That we give our whole selves over. That we don't keep a portion for ourselves. Because we like doing this, even though we know that He hasn't prescribed that, or we know that it's not really correct in His eyes, we still like doing it, or we still like acting this way, or whatever the case may be. So we only give Him a little bit of ourselves, rather than our whole selves. You're to present your bodies, your whole selves, not a portion of you. God doesn't want a portion of you. He wants all of you. And this is your spiritual service of worship. Based on all that Christ has done for you, He says, you live for Me. It's the same thing that Jesus says, is it not? Pick up your cross and follow Me. He didn't say, pick up your cross and follow Me on Sunday. Follow Me on Wednesday. Maybe Tuesday and Friday. The idea there is you follow continually. Every day. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Holy. How is it that you can be holy in that sense? You're walking in obedience to the Lord. Denying yourselves, denying your desires, and living for Him. That is acceptable worship. That's what it is. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. The only way that it can be holy is if you're walking as He has said in His Word. And as you're living in obedience to Him, walking in obedience to Him, living for Him, giving Him the praise of your lips outside of the church and so forth, you're offering a continual sacrifice to Him of yourself. And that is what is required of you. Now we don't do so in a manner that's a burdensome thing, as if we're looking at it in a burdensome manner. Wow, He requires this of me. I guess I'll have to do it. So we do it grudgingly, instead of understanding that to walk in obedience to the Lord is a joyful thing. Well, the Apostle John says his commands are not burdensome. It is a joyful thing to serve the Lord in the way He has said for us to be. There's joy in that. Because of all that Christ has done, you know that this is pleasing to Him and you want to please Him by your life. And so you live in that manner. And it is a joyful thing. If you're just going through the motions, what is that? Unacceptable worship. Unacceptable worship. The Lord says through the prophet Hosea chapter 6, I delight in loyalty and not sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. In fact, in Psalm 51, David, he says something very similar to that. Psalm 51, in verse 16, David says, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That is what God requires, acceptable worship. You're not just going through the motions, thinking that you're pleasing Him by going through the motions. In fact, what we learned last week, a lot of the times when Israel was doing that, that it was rejected because there was no heart in it. They weren't serving Him with their hearts. They were serving Him because they were commanded to do so. In the very beginning, God has always required heartfelt worship. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, we see Cain and Abel. Verse 3 says, "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering He had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell." Now, a lot of times we look at that verse and we say, well, Abel's sacrifice was accepted because, well, it was an actual animal. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. It was unacceptable. That wasn't it. As what we learn and when the law was given in Leviticus, the grain offerings and those kind of offerings were acceptable unto the Lord. So it wasn't that his offering itself was wrong, but his attitude in the offering was wrong. We understand that because immediately when his offering was rejected, what happened? He became angry. Instead of having a heart to say, "Lord, I've sinned against you, let me make it right." That would be evidence of a broken and a contrite heart, a heart that's desirous to worship Him and to give Him the praise that's due Him. What happened? Instead, Cain became very angry. He offered the sacrifice in an unworthy manner. Not that the sacrifice itself was wrong. But what did the Lord require of him? What was it that the Lord desired of him? His heart. He desired his heart. That has been from the beginning. Nothing has changed. We see that all through the Old Testament, God required heartfelt worship. Faithful worship. And when it wasn't given, it was rejected. We see the same thing in the New Testament, don't we? Paul doesn't say do these things because they're commanded of you. He says present your bodies because of all that Christ has done for you. What is he trying to do? He's trying to provoke in them an understanding of all that Christ has done and to get them to respond in gratitude. To respond having more adoration for the Lord. That's the point. We worship in spirit and in truth, right? You worship in truth. You come to understand to an even greater extent of all that Christ has accomplished for you, all that He has for you in heaven, the spiritual blessings that we're blessed with even now. And what does that produce in you? Well, I don't care. That's not the proper response, is it? It's not the proper response to say, "Well, Lord, I guess I'll do this for you because you did this for me." The proper response is, "To you be the glory, to you be the honor. I am unworthy." That is the proper response. You present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. So we give our whole selves over as we walk before Him in a manner pleasing to Him, that we're living in obedience outside of the church. What else is included in worship but prayer? How often do we take time to pray? How often throughout the day do we reflect and meditate on the greatness of God, of what we read in the Scriptures, and meditate on those great truths? Or do we focus too much on what's going on and allow ourselves to get angry and allow ourselves to get bitter or to have a spirit of indifference so we don't really care what's going on? We'll deal with church when we get there. As of right now, I'm going to do my own thing. We'll pray when we get to church. John MacArthur makes this statement. John MacArthur says, "If you think that you can live any way you want and come to church on Sunday and turn on worship with the saints, you're wrong. You're wrong. You can't live any way you want out there and expect to come in here and offer God acceptable worship and to pray only when you're here. The scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians, you pray without ceasing. What does that mean? To pray without ceasing. That you are continually reflecting on the goodness of God. That you are continually reflecting on things that you probably had read that morning. Maybe you have some devotional time and you're reflecting upon those great truths that you had read. The greatness of God that you learned that day. You're continually reflecting on those things. Or perhaps as you're reflecting on those things and thinking about them as you're working or whatever the case may be, then somebody happens to come into your mind and you say, oh Lord, they're going through this. Let me pray for them, Lord. I offer them up to you. You're praying without ceasing. You're meditating. You're reflecting. You're praying. You're reading the scripture. It's a continual thing. That's every day. You don't come here to prepare yourself for worship. You're preparing yourself for worship out there to gather with the saints. Worship is still out there, but it's not something that you just gather together on Sunday and say, I'm going to worship on Sunday. You're worshiping out there. You're preparing yourself to come in here to the assembly to worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, which is a special time because it's here in this place, in this sanctuary, that we come to meet our Lord. We come gathered together to meet our Lord. There is nothing else that can take the place of that, but it starts out there. So you're offering your bodies a living sacrifice. You're praying unto the Lord continually, reflecting on the great truths of the Scriptures. And then we come in here. We come in here. What are we doing here? We're still praying. We're still reflecting on His goodness. And in fact, this place should definitely, we should understand that this place is a place of prayer. We don't interject prayer through the services just because. We pray after this, we pray after this, and we continue to pray before the service, after the service, whatever the case is. We are continually praying because it's in prayer that we are communing with our Lord. You remember what Jesus said when Jesus overturned the tables and He ran the money changers out of the temple? He said, my house shall be a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. It's no different now. In this place, it should be a place of prayer as well. So when we gather together, sometimes we look and say, oh man, we're going to pray again. And golly, it's so boring to pray again. I got to close my eyes again. Prayer is something that is a privilege to do. It is a privilege to pray and to know that your prayers are heard. That is a privilege. It is not something to be looked at as something tiresome. Oh, I got to close my eyes again. I don't care if you close your eyes. You can keep your eyes open. You can lift your eyes to heaven. It doesn't matter what your eyes are doing. It only matters what your mind is doing, your heart is doing. Many times we read of in the scriptures that Jesus lifted His eyes up to heaven and prayed. Is it necessary that we have to close our eyes to pray? No. In fact, I'll just be honest with you, I think I can concentrate a little bit better when my eyes are open. We come here to pray. To fellowship, yes, with each other. Most of all, to fellowship with Him. And to offer Him the praise and the honor that is due Him. Paul goes on. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove or approve what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable. Remember that word again, acceptable and perfect. You're praising Him out there. You're giving Him the praise of your lips, as the writer of Hebrews says. You're making His name great among the peoples out there, with people you come in contact with, or fellowshipping with other believers. Speaking of the great things of the Lord and giving Him praise for what perhaps you've understood to a greater extent of some truth in his Word. You're praising Him out there. Then when we gather in here, what are we going to do here? We're offering ourselves a sacrifice. We're praying unto Him. And the third thing, we're praising Him together. How is it that we praise Him properly? By the renewing of our mind. Our mind is engaged. our emotions, our heartfelt worship comes from what we know of Him. We're not coming in here mindless. We're not coming in here just to get our worship on. I cannot stand that saying, by the way. I'm going to go get my worship on. Your worship is every day. It is every day. Not just on Sunday. But we gather here together and we offer Him the praise of our lips together. The songs that we sing, we're singing unto Him. That we're, remember we're talking about worship is holistic. It involves the entire faculty of our being. We come in here, we're taking the bread and the cup, we're eating, fellowshipping with the Lord, reflecting on His greatness, on His sacrifice for us. We're coming in here, we're singing, we're giving Him the praise of our lips as we enter together into song. Singing the great truths of who we know of Him, of what we know of Him. Not singing sappy songs. Not singing songs that are just shallow in theology, that all we're doing is working ourselves up again. We're singing things that are true of Him. There are many, many different types of songs that are being sung in the church today, some of which are very unacceptable. When you start looking at the content of what it is, I'm not talking about style. Not at all talking about style. Style is not the issue. The content is the issue. There are some hymns out there that are probably good to sing somewhere other than in the church. And I'm not trying to pick on no particular ones. I'll give you a few examples. But be open-minded when I give you these examples. The song Love Lifted Me. That's sung in the church a lot, isn't it? What great truth is it speaking of the Lord? What great deep truth is being proclaimed in that hymn? In fact, it's not even a hymn. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. What is that even saying? Or how about the song, I'll Fly Away? That's sung a lot. What great truth is being proclaimed in that? What is it speaking of Him? What are we praising Him for in that song? There are a lot of contemporary songs that are not acceptable either. You ought to be singing them to your wife or your spouse rather than to the Lord. The content matters because it's the content that we sing, that we engage our hearts in, proclaiming the great truths of who God is. You take the song, the hymn, the actual hymn, Amazing Grace. You think of the depth of what is being taught in that song concerning God, His mercy, His grace. Now, you take a song like that, Amazing Grace, and you compare it with some of the ones, some of the old, well, they're in the hymnal, they're not really hymnals, again, gospel songs. They're gospel songs, not really hymns. But you compare that with some of those, you compare that song with some of the contemporary songs that we see today, there's no comparison. When you are singing and proclaiming the great truths like a song like that, that produces in you even greater love and adoration. That's why we sing them, to proclaim His greatness, because He's worthy of that. He's not worthy of songs that we sing just because we like them, or songs that we sing that we're gonna, that's going to tug at our hearts because of the emotional response that those songs will be given apart from our minds being engaged of who God is. I can get worked up at a rock concert. I can get worked up at this or that. What is the one thing that sets apart the church? The content. The content of song. So we come in, we proclaim those great truths of who God is. Proclaiming His greatness, His majesty, His glory. And as we hear the word expounded, again, whether it's me, Chris, Paul, Squirrel, whoever is expounding the scriptures to you, we engage our hearts in listening to what the word of God is saying to us. Again, why? Because it's going to provoke us to an even higher plane of worship in that sense. It's going to promote that love to an even greater extent. Yes, emotion is tied in with worship. There's no doubt about that. As we were singing that song, just think of the love that was filling in you toward the Lord. But that love was based on what your knowing of Him. Your mind was engaged in the truths that we were proclaiming. And what was the response? Love. Worship. Adoration. So any form of worship, whether it's singing, whether it's praying, whether it's the exposition of the Scriptures, it's all through the renewing of your mind. It's coming in your mind first, and your response is the emotion that follows. With your whole self. Your mouth singing, your ears listening and engaged. Walking in obedience to Him out there, taking of the bread and the cup. Our whole selves are engaged in this. If it was just a mind thing, we would be no different than the Gnostics, wouldn't we? Gnostics prided themselves just on knowledge. False knowledge, by the way. We don't pride ourselves on knowledge. We pride ourselves, yes, on learning the deep things of God, that we worship Him more. So we present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice based on the mercies of God, based on what Christ has done, and we offer Him acceptable worship. That is the proper response. Remember, this month is Thanksgiving. We're moving toward Thanksgiving, and we talk about all the things that we should be thankful for and so forth. The main thing we ought to be thankful for is our salvation in the Lord. Not that He's even saving us from hell, but that He chose to bring a people to Himself. That is the magnificence of salvation. Not that God saved me from hell. Yes, that's part of it. He saved me from His wrath. He adopted me into His family. And how am I going to be toward Him knowing that great thing? I'm going to please Him in all that I do. I'm going to demonstrate my thanks to Him by all that I do. So present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That is what we need to be doing. Focused on that. Be renewed in the spirit of our minds, filling ourselves with the great things of the Scriptures, and coming in here already prepared to worship, because you've been preparing out there. And we come in here in this special time to gather with our brothers and sisters and to offer that worship together. You're preparing out there. We come here to do it together, to learn together, to offer Him the praise together. And that is a special time. Every day is a day of worship. Every day. So let us focus on that. Let us focus on Him daily. Let's focus on His Word daily. And walk in a manner pleasing to Him. Amen. Let's stand if you would. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come into Your presence once again. Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Father God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the Spirit that resides within us, Father God, that illuminates Your Word in our hearts, that we can come to know what it is that You desire of us. Father, that we can come to know the things that are pleasing in Your sight, that we can demonstrate by our lives how grateful we are, and demonstrate the love that we say we have for You. Father, we're so overwhelmed by Your greatness, by Your majesty, by Your glory. Father, help us to live our lives daily in view of the fact that we are always in your presence. You're the God who sees all. Father, let us reflect on that great truth. You're with us continually. What we see, you see. What we say, you hear. Give us wisdom. Forgive us where we failed you. Father, let us glorify your name in all that we say and do. Father, I pray that if anyone here does not know you as the Lord and Savior of their life, that today will be their birthday in the kingdom of heaven. Father God, draw them to yourself as only you can. And you will once again receive all the praise and the honor and the glory for who you are and what you do. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.